As we celebrate the baptism of our Lord Jesus Day today, the question that came to my mind, and granted I was on vacation, so it, you know, just kind of came to my mind, might be the wrong question because it came to me on vacation, but the question was, do you remember your baptism? Anybody, how many of you remember your baptism? I don't, I was less than a month old. You do? You do? Anybody else? You do? Okay. What do you remember about it? The few of you who remember. If you remember anything about it, what do you remember, Joan?
Dipping in the crick.
Dipping in the crick. All right. What was it like to dip in the crick?
Cold.
It was cold. All right. Well, that's important. But anybody else? Anybody remember anything about their baptism? Well, you were a baby, so not everybody remembers. But a few of us weren't babies, and so we remember. Anybody else? Mikey, do you remember anything? Yours was recent. Remember anything about it? You remember getting water on your head, yeah. Do you remember what else we did that day? Anything else? No. You don't? You don't remember that we had the camp Sunday that day? It was that day? Do you remember the gift that you got that day? Ah, that cross you're wearing? Uh-huh, see, I know. And you've worn that to church every time since. Well done. Good job, godparents. Good gifting. Anybody else remember anything about your baptism? Anybody, anything. Like Lois said, most of us in here don't remember our baptisms because we were babies and we got baptized as babies. I was less than a month old when I was baptized. I don't remember, obviously I don't remember anything about it. Today we remember Jesus' baptism, and we also use this as an occasion to remember our own baptisms. And in this ritual that we did, you know, when we had the kids come up and make the sign of the cross with the baptismal water on your foreheads and say, you are a beloved child of God, that's the thing that we're supposed to remember from our baptisms. You know, in our tradition, because we do these infant baptisms and these little kiddo baptisms, we don't always remember it. And it's not the strength of our way of doing it. Now, certainly, baptizing infants and babies and all the family members is biblical and appropriate, and it shows us and it reminds us that baptism is something God does, not something that we do, and that baptism is all about the grace of God for us, God's promise to us that God will love us and will never let us go, that God welcomes us and accepts us no matter what. And all of that is shown clearly in infant baptism. But we also get the negative side, which is that we can't actually remember, we don't actually have the experience to remember of our own baptisms in those cases. And so we have to do these other things so that we can remember what baptism means, the power that baptism has. Well, Jesus remembers his baptism. We can be confident that Jesus remembered his baptism. He was like 30 years old. So probably he remembered his baptism. He probably remembered what God said at Jesus' baptism. This is those, now, even if you were a baby and God had done this at your baptism, you might remember it. When, after Jesus came up out of the water and a voice from the heavens said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." If God had said that at my baptism and I didn't remember it, I would feel like I had gotten a raw deal. To be honest. I mean, like, whose idea was this? That would not have been a good deal. Now, Jesus remembers because he heard what God said about him, that he is God's Son, that he is beloved, that God is pleased with Jesus. Now, there's another translation of the well-pleased that said, that would go chosen, that he is chosen by God. In baptism, Jesus accepts and affirms his identity. These things are Jesus' identity, that he is God's Son, who is beloved of God, who is chosen by God to do God's work in the world. That's Jesus' identity. That's the identity he accepts in baptism. I suppose Jesus could have run away and decided, you know what, I don't really want to do this. And some think, I wouldn't say this, but some think that Jesus did run away and try not to do it, and that's why he waited until he was 30 to finally be baptized and start this stuff. What was Jesus doing all those years? Maybe he was saying, you know, I don't think I'm ready to be the Savior of the world yet. It's possible. I don't know. We weren't there. There's not a lot of biblical evidence, pure conjecture. But in baptism, we do know that Jesus accepted his identity, that he knew who he was in his baptism. It's interesting in Matthew's version here that John would have prevented him. As it says, John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. I don't know exactly what fulfill all righteousness means, but I know what the word fulfill means, right? It means to complete, to there's something, there's a space, there's an expectation. And this expectation is being fulfilled in Jesus. In Jesus' baptism, he fulfills God's purpose for Jesus. He accepts that purpose. He takes on the mission of being Jesus in the world. In his baptism, Jesus is doing what God incarnated him to do. I'm not sure if that verb is right, incarnated. But Jesus was made human to do this thing, to be baptized, to accept his identity as God's beloved child, who would then go out and do all the things that Jesus did. I think Jesus' baptism shaped his life and his ministry from there on. Now, in Matthew's version, Jesus gets baptized at the river with John. It's not clear if anybody else sees this or not, if anybody else is around. In Luke's version, it sounds like there's other people there. But in John's version, it's not super clear. And then immediately, Jesus goes off into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, which is a story we'll hear about in a few weeks, probably when I'm on parental leave, so I'll let somebody else handle that one for you. But at least if things go according to schedule, that's what'll happen. But then Jesus comes back and begins his public ministry. This is the beginning of Jesus' public presence, his baptism. He doesn't start his ministry immediately from his baptism, at least in this version. But this is the beginning of Jesus as a public figure. John witnesses this. Maybe other people witness this. They hear God speak of Jesus in this way. They know that in Jesus, God is doing a new thing. What are some of the new things that Jesus did in his ministry? Anybody have any? Can anybody think of a new thing Jesus did when he was out being Jesus?
He played the servant. Just by the folly of being baptized by someone else saying that they have some type of more power than he could possibly.
Right.
Not just the servant, but the humble.
You're right. It was humble of him to be baptized.
He's a humble person.
Right. So even though Jesus was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and all these things, Jesus is God and human, he still took the humble path and was baptized by John. And John was like, well, this doesn't make any sense. You're obviously more important than me. I should be getting baptized by you. And Jesus said, no. That's not how I lead. That's not how we do things anymore. So right, that is a new thing that Jesus did. Can anybody else think of some new things that Jesus did? I like this one. I just sort of let people have better answers in the sermon than I was going to bring. So, what else did Jesus do that was a new thing? Anybody? Like in his whole, he never did anything, everything he did is like, oh, that was boring. Everybody's done that before. I don't think that's what you think.
He's associated with deplorables.
Yeah. Yes, that he did. Jesus hung out with people that nobody else was willing to spend time with lepers and outcasts, with sinners, with tax collectors, with prostitutes, all these people that you're supposed to not like and you're supposed to not, respectable people wouldn't be seen with them. But Jesus not only was seen with them, he ate with them, he healed them, he treated them with dignity. He recognized the fullness of their humanity. When the whole of the society was predicated on recognizing that they were less than fully human. That's a new thing Jesus did. No small thing. Any other new things Jesus did? Miracles. Anything in particular?
Water into wine.
That was a big one. That's a very, very, very popular party trick. Raising the dead, yeah, that's kind of a big one, right? With Lazarus and some of the raising of the dead. He survived his whole lifetime without making any money. There's a miracle for you. Let's consider that as we follow Jesus today. Yes, thank you. Yeah, he walked on water. That was a real popular one. He cast out demons. That was a big one.
He healed from a distance.
He healed from a distance, that's right. And he healed by touching both. Like the healing, there wasn't just like one mechanism for doing it. God's power could work in different ways. Yeah. Ah, yes, he made more food. He expanded the food from the few loaves and fishes to enough for everyone with food to spare, with baskets left over. These are some of the things Jesus did, some of the new things that Jesus did, all of which were grounded in the identity that he claimed in his baptism as a beloved child of God, chosen by God, with whom God was well pleased. This is what Jesus did. So most of us in this room do not remember our baptisms as established. But my thought for today is that I bet Jesus remembers your baptism. What do you think Jesus remembers about your baptism? What does Jesus remember about your baptism? You probably cried a lot. Well, that's probably true. What else? What does Jesus remember?
That we are beloved children.
That we are beloved children of God. Thank you, Mikey. Yes, 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 yes. The most recently baptized guy in the room. You get, see, that's why you get paid the big bucks, to be the acolyte, Mikey. That's right, that's right. Yes, Jesus remembers that you are a beloved child of God. Jesus remembers the promise God made to you in your baptism, that God would always be with you. Jesus remembers that, even if you don't remember, Jesus remembers your baptism. Jesus remembers the identity that you claimed in your baptism, that was given to you in your baptism as a free gift of God, as a beloved child. That's what he said. What else? Anything else Jesus remembers? I think Mikey maybe stole the thunder, but is there anything else Jesus remembers about your baptism? It never expires. Yes, thank you, Dave. It never expires. This is a one time, and it's good forever. It never expires. It never goes out of date. It never slows down. The power of your baptism remains with you every day. It's just as good as the day you first received it. How does this identity that you received in baptism as a beloved child of God, this identity that Jesus remembers, that Jesus knows in your baptism, how does this identity shape your life today? I mean, I don't expect you to walk on water or do the loaves and fishes thing directly, but how does this identity shape your life today? All the Christians in the world got your back. Theoretically, at least, yes, yes. In practical sense, every once in a while that gets a little dicey, because there's a lot of Christians in the world. And they haven't historically always had all of each other's backs. But yes, the idea is that you're on the same side as all the Christians in the world, all the people following Jesus. It guides your treatment of everybody, how you treat other people. How does it guide it? Feed the hungry.
Welcome the poor.
Love
everybody.
Matthew 25. Love everybody, you say. Yes, yes. Your baptism guides how you treat other people. That is a central and important thing. Not being judgmental, Kay says. Yes. Because everybody can receive the gift of baptism, and everybody can receive the grace and love of God. Not just those who think they're worthy or who are seen as worthy from outside. Anything else? How your identity that you received in baptism shapes your life? If you don't have a good, clear answer for that, give it some thought. Ponder that in the day, in the week, in the year to come. What is your identity that you received in baptism as a beloved child of God? How does that shape your life today?
Not a
gives you a kickstart to the rest of your life.
A kickstart to the rest of your life.
And we haven't decided on any baptism to attend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, well, you have more responsibilities than just the common person who doesn't have the Bible. We have the capacity to go, I can't look at the speck of dust in your eyes until I actually observe the plank coming out of
right.
the
boat. Right, exactly. We have.
I have that knowledge, and I have to use it.
Yeah.
When I'm supposed to use it.
That's right. So there's some responsibility with this, right? You know what God has given you. You know what God has done for you. And so you can go forth and give that and do for others as God has done for you. All right, I'm going to let it go there. Keep thinking about it. Think about how your identity that you received in baptism shapes your life. We've talked about some good ones here. There's more. And thank you for participating in this sermon today. Amen.